This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Yeah. I hit all six on Vader, and he rolled the three extra for the Pierce 3 that Vader has, and he rolled like all of them paint.
I remember playing and heard this guy go, yes, yes, nine of paint.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper podcast. In this series, we talk all things Star Wars Legion. My name is Jay Shalansky, and joining me today is not Nick. Apparently, he couldn't make it, and so I got this bum off the street.
Tough luck, sucker.
Evan Bulris, you guys probably know him if you've listened to the podcast. He's been on twice now. This is his third appearance, and final, maybe, depending on how he does today. We're doing open tryouts.
Fair. All right.
Let's see if you make the team, buddy.
Put me in, coach.
So for today, we're going to talk. Evan and I and Nick actually went to a tournament out in Buffalo, New York this weekend, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about any future ones that we're looking at going to, PAX and LVO. And then also we want to kind of talk about terrain, you know, what we saw at the tournament and then also, you know, what we're seeing out there and about. So I guess first off, just want to have an open discussion about the tournament we had this weekend. So, you know, just kind of spoiler alert here going into the podcast, but Evan actually got first place.
I got really lucky. I'm good dice.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
That's what they always say. Them winners.
I think it was mostly, I ran Vader, I ran Boba Fett, and then five troops of stormtroopers with just the DLT, and then, Vader had, saber throw and force reflexes, Boba had Hunter, and, Veers had esteemed leader, and I think, I really liked it, actually. It was the first time I played it. I thought I was gonna do really bad, but, you know, DLTs seem like one of the best troop upgrades in the game, maybe?
Yeah.
1-4, 2 red dice, surge, so they only have a 1 chance to miss, 1 out of 8. And Boba Fett, like, first game, I had him in. The first time I ever played him, he didn't do much for me. I'm like, oh, man, what a huge waste of points. And then the next two games, he won it for me. I actually won via bounty. That was a real close game. Actually, all my games were super close. And I had a lot of fun. Everybody was a blast to play with.
Yeah.
No complaints there. I thought the, we'll get into it later, but the train looked great. Yep. Especially we didn't realize how many people are coming. So they had to like last minute, like just get some stuff together so we can play.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so overall from the tournament, we had 12 participants, which was just.
That was great.
It was amazing.
Yeah. That was the most I've ever had for Legion.
Yeah. And I think like a lot of, from what I've been seeing, like I think PAX Unplugged, what was it, 12 or 16?
16
yeah. So like we're really close to some of the maxes that these big tournaments are doing, which was amazing. It was $10 entry fee, which I thought was reasonable.
Yeah.
They actually gave out cash prize for first and second place, which was amazing.
Yeah. That was really cool. Actually, I wasn't ready for that. And so when I got it, I just bought a whole dinner. Because I didn't know what to... I mean, money's money, right? But I was just like, well, I guess I'll just give it back.
Yeah, Evan was so shocked. He just bought me dinner. He was like, I guess I'll buy you a burger, buddy.
I guess I owe you a burger.
I've never had this mustache before.
More or less. I'm used to like store credit or like nothing, right?
Yeah.
Usually, my career in X-Wing's been built on losing, not winning. So I'm like, what's the prize for last place, guys?
Yeah, he looked so shocked when they announced his... Well, he didn't even talk for 10 minutes. We had to like shake him. He was...
I never win. I just never win. Like... So that was really cool. But no, great time. The list was pretty fun. I like it because my command hand was just like a menagerie of like whatever I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
The only thing I took for Vader was Master of Evil. The only thing I took for Veers was Maximum Firepower. And I took 2 generics and then 2 Boba Fett cards.
And I think that gives you a lot of options, right?
Oh, it's great. Like, you know, Veers, if you kill him, whatever. The first turn, I'm using Maximum Firepower to hit something.
Yeah.
I was using it to try to get snipers. One time he put him out and we set up and I put Veers down and I'm like, you know, just aiming, right? Veers had to like just seize him right there. And I'm like, all right, they're gone. And he's like, oh wait, scout 2. And he was in some trees. I'm like, no, no, you know, so I like, I threw it into an ATRT or something. But
well, one of the fun things I like, you know, with Veers is that, a lot of people, when you play that maximum firepower in turn one, which I understand the argument out there that you could hold it. I've held it before. Yeah. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but they expect you to activate him first too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, No, I'm just giving them an order token. I'm going to see how this plays out, yeah, and then I'll activate them. You know, because sometimes, like, with their, you know, in anticipation of that, I've noticed some players will start hiding stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, he's going to, and then it's like, no, I'm gonna make you activate the troops I want to shoot first and see what you're going to do, and then I'll roll maximum firepower.
No, that's very true. First game, I didn't get to, like, I shot at something like an ATRT. Second game, I shot at, I don't know, something. And then third game, like, I'm like, everything else was hit, so I'm like, I'll just fire at troops.
Yeah.
Got one hit. And I'm like, oh. It's just like you dodge everything else. I'm like, oh, whoops. But
yeah, but I mean, overall, fun. Yeah, they did cash for first and second, and then basically all the rest of us losers after that, if you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby, as my as my old father used to say. Beyond that, they actually they had this guy, Corey Budwine. He does command decks on Etsy. If you just search up command decks on Etsy, you'll find him. So he does the laser cut wood MDF card holders,
yeah,
for X-Wing, for Legion, and I believe some other games. I don't know off the top of my head, but you can check
great.
It out.
They look, yeah, awesome.
So he gave, so you could pick two of those as, like, I think, what did they say, after it, sixth and below?
I think so.
All got to pick those, and they had some 3D printed terrain as a giveaways, and then they had, what was it, like, paint holder or something, yeah, like that as well, you know. And that's so really, I just want to say thanks. That was Dave and Adam's Card World out in Buffalo. That, yeah, store is bonkers.
Yeah, it's really crazy big.
It was huge. I mean, they had so much stuff. So, like, you know, for people who are just listening, never been there before, I assume that's a lot of people because it's Buffalo, New York, but like 50% of it was like sports, mm-hmm, stuff. You know, we have a NFL team in Buffalo, and there's an NHL team, both in Buffalo. Yeah. So, like, you know, they had a lot of Buffalo Bills stuff, a lot of Buffalo Sabre stuff, like couches and stuff to watch the games up front. Then as you went back, it kind of got nerdier. You know, you start getting, yeah, into video games, and, yeah, then collectibles. They had this huge video wall in the back that had, you could, like, so let's say you had a buy, which we didn't, you know, fortunately, we, yeah, didn't have to do that. We had 12. But if you had a buy, you could just go play Fortnite.
Yeah.
Up on the video wall, they had like an arcade there.
That was really cool. Yeah.
Crazy amount of stuff.
They're like a big competitor to TCG Player.
Yeah.
How the amount of cards they just like buy, yeah, and sell. That's really,
they
nuts,
had this ridiculous counter that went through the center of like the nerd section. That I don't know if you remember, but when we were like trying, yeah, to leave, I was like, whoa. What? Like, because, yeah, it just kept going and going and going,
oh,
and you couldn't,
yeah,
find,
yeah,
the front door. And
it had, like autographed memorabilia. Yeah. Like, it was really cool.
It's like, how do you get out of here?
You don't. Yeah. You don't.
It's not the worst place to get lost in.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that was the store we played in. Great game area. I mean, it was top notch,
yeah,
I think.
Excellent. It was super excellent.
And then, you know, I also want to thank Chris and Luke Cook. They're out of Buffalo, too. They ran the tournament. And I really think Chris and Luke, too. But Chris is very active on all the Facebook groups and stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's an awesome ambassador for the game and the scene. I mean,
he had really great energy. Like, it was, yeah, like positive, really great, like, just communicator. No, it was great. I think he did a really good job.
Yeah. And you know, Evan and I talk about this a lot. Like, how do you build the community? How do you make it better? And it's really guys like Chris who are enthusiastic, who have, you know, personal skills that they can talk to people, they get people engaged, they get people excited, and you know, and he and this guy Paul, they brought tons of their own personal terrain,
oh,
from,
yeah,
home.
No,
that was amazing.
Awesome.
And we'll talk about,
cool,
that a little bit later, but yeah, it was just really, really good overall. Great people.
Yeah,
like, not as, I don't, there wasn't a single person that I was, you know,
no, not at all,
too upset, but, with,
yeah, yeah, no.
You know, I mean, I don't like losing, but like, you know, other than that, yeah, I thought it went really well. So, you know, before we get, I know you touched on your list a little bit too, but like, I'll just talk about what I ran. I don't remember what place I got into. I can tell you it wasn't first or second. And so I want to say it was beyond sixth. I don't know where it was. I won one.
Had lost a rough day.
Yeah, I lost two, but I lost to the two people that ended up going third and fourth. So
you bring a anti-armor list and no armor
right.
shows up in your game, that's a bad time, right?
Yeah, so I was running Vader with Force Push and Saber Throw. I was running Veers with improvised orders. I was running four stormtroopers, two with DLT 19s, two with HH 12s, and then I was running two snowtroopers with flames and grenades. Oh, and they all had all the troopers had impact grenades. It did okay, but there was a couple guys that had some armored units, but I didn't face them. So all the people that got in the top five were all non-armor, all trooper units with either scouts or commandos, a lot of snipers.
Snipers are very good.
Yeah, and
I was not ready for how many I'd be seeing.
Yeah, and that guy Chris we were just talking about, he came in third and his son Luke came in second. Chris had a ridiculous Rebels list. I think he ended up with 10 activations. And even, you know, he had just had so many troops. Actually, Luke told me he had Han, Leia, two troops with Z6, two fleets, two full sniper squads. So he had two of the full commando squads, but with the sniper in them.
Okay.
And then he had just a small sniper squad. It was a ridiculous list. And I was, you know, I've since changed this tournament really made me adjust my list this week. And I got my commandos and Boba Fett open, so I got them in. But I didn't want to change my list for the tournament because I had been practicing with it, so I felt pretty confident in it. But yeah, I got walked over because the first two guys I played had zero armor, and the HH-12s just weren't enough. They weren't holding up. They're fine, but you know the exhaust and the no movement, and it's just.
I think they need blast.
Yeah,
I think they need blast. Same thing with the Rebel grenade launcher. I think it just needs blast. So you don't feel like your Rebel grenade launchers, at least, was it red and a black or two red or something? It's pretty okay. I don't remember the stats exactly. But the rocket launcher, like, you can't shoot and move it or move and shoot it because it's cumbersome.
Yep.
We've got to reload it. It's kind of a lot. And with blast, at least you could hit guys in cover. I guess it might be too good, but it's range 2 to 4, so you can't shoot range 1 with it. I don't know. It's,
yeah.
I feel like. I know Nick, you know, Nick said, well, of course it'd be better with blast. I'm like, you're right, but I feel like it needs it to be like, unless something else comes out, right?
Sure.
We haven't seen all the stuff yet. But that's what I thought it did for the longest time, because I'm like, well, it's a rocket launcher, isn't it, right? So rockets and missiles are supposed to be homing rockets.
Yeah, but it's got the impact instead of blast, because it's meant for the armored troops, which was, you know, the list was doing really well when I was facing ATRTs and ATSTs.
Eating ATST apart, right?
Like, yeah. And but then once I faced these guys, you know, and then... So Chris Cook with that Rebel list, like, he tore me apart our first round. It wasn't even close. Like, I think we had battle lines, and it was the name is escaping me now, but it's the one basically where you gotta get all your troops in the enemy's
breakthrough.
Thank you. We had breakthrough, and what had happened was, so like on my left hand side of my board, I had blue player, so I got to pick sides. On the left hand side of my board, there was this amazing like castle. Did you play on that board?
Yeah, I did actually.
Yeah. So like there was this amazing castle within my borders. I'm within my deployment zone on the left hand side of the board, and I was like, awesome. And so like I just stacked Veers up there in the two HH-12s, and I was like, I'm just gonna sit here. And so when I started the game, you know, Evan and I were talking about this earlier, but when I started the game, I had all the good intentions in mind. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep my army together. They're gonna just run through his army, even if he comes across on the right hand side of the board. If I got everybody on the left, I can start picking him off from there and then just start moving towards him as a cohesive unit. And then something happens in my head when I'm playing, like I start seeing what the other players are doing. And instead of being confident in what I'm deploying, like I start questioning,
second guessing yourself.
Yeah. Questioning my tactics. And so Chris he saw what I was doing because he's really good. And so he's like, all right, well then I'll just put all my troops on the other end of the board. So when I was in the castle, just like fortified, like tons of cover, like I would have been safe and sound and done some damage in there. He just started placing on the other side of the board, and I was like, oh no, like I gotta adjust. And so like I put Vader and the snowtroopers over there, and one of the DLT-19s over there, and I was like, well, I'll just, all right, well, I think this should be enough to meet him. And it wasn't.
Yeah, because you're facing his whole army at that point, not just
And you know, but in my head, and this is a miscalculation on my part, you know, and I'm sure Kyle from Never Telling Me the Odds would tell me what an idiot I am, because, you know, you always have to back up your backup in this game, right? Yeah. Redundancy is key. And I had the idea in my head.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, oh, Chris is doing something different. I'm oh, no. And then I split my army and that was the end of it. But yeah, Chris did a fine job making me look like a fool. He's an excellent, excellent player.
Oh, so you boys are from Syracuse, huh? Yeah.
We're going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of it, he was, you know, and I don't want to take away. He like I said, he outsmarted me and outplayed me. 100%. But then on top of it, he was rolling like every roll was had at least one crit. So it was just like crit. So it didn't matter the cover I had, nothing mattered. And it like my stuff was just getting shredded. And he just did an excellent, excellent job. And then my second game, I ended up playing the guy that I think his name was Steve. He ended up going fourth.
Okay. Yep.
And, you know, it was a hard fought battle till round six. And then he just came in and just like he took out Vader. I ended up, I think it was five. He had five hits on Vader. I think I had three or four health left on Vader. Yeah. And I was like, no problem.
Yeah.
I am totally going to do this. I rolled all blanks. And Vader was gone.
Those traitorous red dice.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just, but it was a good game and he beat me. And, you know, it did cut. I felt like it came all the way down the sixth round. We were tied. It was the objective to the transmissions one.
Yeah, intercept transmissions.
Intercept the transmissions. So we were tied going all the way down to the wire. Mm-hmm. And then we were fighting over that middle one.
Yeah.
Vader died, and that was really it for me. I couldn't really do anything else. And he won. He ended up going fourth place, which was really cool. I think he lost to you. His only loss was first player.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Learned a lot. You know, I think every time, you know, it's hard, and I'm sure a lot of people out there would agree, like when you're playing with your local people. Like Nick and I know each other now. Mm-hmm. So like we trade games because it's like, oh, I know what Nick's going to do here. I kind of know Nick's mind. You know, some of the people we play with, we've played enough where you kind of know what they're going to do. You know what list they're bringing for the most part. So it's really nice when you go out to tournaments because you see completely new stuff that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And new styles of play.
No, I agree completely. Yeah. It was interesting to see people use like what Nick brought to T-47s, you know, like that was crazy.
Yeah. So Nick, so anybody who listens, Nick and I have talked about the T-47s forever. He's basically talked crap about them forever.
Yeah.
But I think he saw somebody play one, I want to say last Friday or something, and he was like, holy crap, like the way they used it, it was really good. I want to say it was Jeremy. And then, so he was like, you know what? Let's see. So he brought the two T-47s. I think he went one and two as well.
Yeah, I think so too.
But he said the T-47s worked really well, but then, you know, the rest of his army was a little naked. I'm sure he'll talk about that on another cast, but yeah.
Oh, sure.
So he was just trying something new and it seemed, I don't know.
I mean, I thought about it and it's like, so speeder bikes are scary until there's just one of the two of them. Like, those things are shooting better speeder bike dice, and then they don't really, like, as they take damage, unless you get the really bad, like, lose your main cannon, they don't really get worse, right? So that's what is it, three red, three black or something, I think. And with two of those barreling down on you, throwing like 12 dice at you, that's something. So you could just, if I was playing them, I'd be like, well, that's getting evaporated this turn, that's getting evaporated this turn, right? Like, I just, that's a lot, dude. Nothing stands up to that, like, especially with, like, a reroll. If you do your compulsory move, aim, dodge, and or aim and shoot or something, I think it's, even though they get a lot of flack for being the worst unit, I still don't think they're amazing, but I think they have a place for someone who really likes them. Like,
yeah, and
I think they're like a passion unit. Like, you just like Snowspeeders, so you're going to play it, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, and I feel like they, like, and I know I'm just beating a dead horse here, but like, there's got to be a reason they're in the game.
Yeah.
And we'll find it eventually. But until then, I think it's just testing stuff out. And maybe it's the same as Vader. You know, for a while, nobody was playing Vader because he just, you know, from a points perspective, he just didn't make sense. But now that we've all learned how to play a little bit better and we've seen some different stuff, he's become way more successful.
It's funny because, like, I'd move him up and he was just there to be a distraction. He's a great distraction because you take a dodge. you get your free force dodge from force reflexes. So you're getting that every turn because you're only taking one force power because you're a master of evil one. And you do your one forward, you throw your saber, and everyone shoots at him. And he next turn, he does the same thing. Like,
yeah.
And if you do master of... Master of the Force, that's his free evade. But then you activate him with Master of Evil, take your dodge, get your free dodge, that's three dodges on him. So every time you shoot the next three shots at him, he's getting deflects. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty scary.
Yeah, he's really good. And I've always loved him. And, you know, until I saw Boba, and you can talk about that in a little bit, but like until I saw Boba and the scouts working, I was planning on keeping him in my list. And then after we ran that tournament this weekend, I was like, holy crap. And I've completely retooled my list. And so now I have Veers and Boba. Mm-hmm. I have, three stormtroopers with DLTs, two snowtroopers with flame troopers. I have two of the scout units with snipers and then one sniper unit.
Yeah. Snipers, man. I kind of brushed them off the first time I saw them. Yeah. Like, well, they're cool. I don't know. And then, like, everybody I placed had at least one. And one, the second guy I placed, really nice dude. It was, like, a second game ever playing. He was just, like, jazzed because he was doing a lot with his house. And he's like, finally come out and get to play. And I said earlier, like, I said, Veers, like, maximum firepower them off the board. And then they had Scout 2. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, I'm like, yeah, that is right. They do. But they killed Veers and they picked up Vader. Only the one of them, it did a lot of damage. And that was really good. I just couldn't believe how, like, because, like, the high velocity, so you can't dodge. And then sharpshooter one.
Yeah, and pierce one.
And pierce
They're
one.
Ridiculous.
And then the last game I played, a gentleman had an AT-ST, bikes, and then two sets of full snipers along with some of the troops.
Yeah.
And those snipers were just, like, he was rolling hot.
Yeah.
You know, I felt bad the first time he rolls, like, two blanks, reroll into two blanks. And I'm like, oh, jackpot. Maybe I got this. But then I just were like, hit, crit, hit, crit, hit, crit. And then... you know, it was just like, I gotta keep rolling. Like, it was nuts. Right. Like, how much you just look at something and remove it.
Yeah. And I'd say, so the commando snipers from a gun perspective, not any of their other stats, mm-hmm. but just a gun perspective are running the white and the black.
Correct. Yep.
And then the Empire scouts are running black.
Yep.
And I just think it just makes all the difference.
It does. I mean, the, Rebel Surge. Which the Empire doesn't, but you have a chance to just roll better with the Empire. Yep. Like, that's kind of the thing. Empire only surges on defense, where Rebels surge on both.
Right.
But Empire's gun is two black a unit for a little holdout blaster.
Yeah, and I played a game yesterday with them, and I can tell you those are nasty.
Yeah, it could be like 10 dice.
Yeah,
you throw somebody 10 black dice.
10 black dice. It you just shred if you can get them up there. And, you know, listen, they got the white defense dice with it. I know the rebels are all going, oh, you know, like white defense dice.
Blah, I don't blah, blah. Actually. I don't.
No, we don't. That's why we play Empire. Yeah, like we're so used to red, and so that's like a little tricky. Like yesterday when I was playing, I definitely put my scouts in predicaments I shouldn't have just because I was so used to red defense dice. Where I'm like,
do you run duck and cover on them?
I don't. I think it's okay, but it's. I don't want them to be suppressed. Half the time, you know, and I get why you would want them to be, but I want to be able to use them.
That's fair. Yeah, because they have the two, and then you're getting shot at anyway, so you're going to be suppressed. But it gives you from armor nothing to armor two. I mean, a cover nothing from to cover two.
Yeah, I mean it's nice for the snipers by themselves. Like for instance. I could see using it, like, if you can't find a board placement where they make sense. Like, if you're, let's say you're red and you just got the crap board and there's nowhere to put them, then, duck and cover would be really nice. But, you know, if you can find cover, too, on the board, which most boards you can, and you just place them there, like, you don't really need that duck and cover.
That's fair.
So I guess, Evan, I know you went over your list a little bit, but why don't we talk about, talk about the new troops that you played, what, you know, kind of how they performed for you.
So I just love, the DLT. It's just such a reliably accurate gun. So I just made four troops of that because I wanted everything I had on the board to be able to take an objective. I built my deck around that. Well, as much as you can build it around anything, right? Just all objectives. I took out Breakthrough. I took out Long March. I just want my guys to be able to be all over the place and be able to grab anything. Boba Fett, the first game, didn't do much for me. The guy was just rolling some great evade dice. It was insane. And so I was like, oh, wow, Boba kind of stinks. And then the second game, granted, the only leader he had was Vader. So the only option I had for the bounty was Vader, and Boba was not killing Vader. Like, it was like, I put him on the opposite of the board. I didn't really think about it, so yeah. That just wasn't happening. The second game was I put on Leia, and I got some really good hits. I hit her with a rocket, hit her with a carbine that dropped her, and then I got that's the only reason I won, because I got that bounty token.
Yeah.
And then, so I had him kind of hidden in like a tower, and he was shooting out. So again, he was good, and he won me the game, but I'm like, I don't know about him yet. Then the last game, it was grab the supplies, or capture the supplies, and he went around, he flanked all the way around to grab the other guy's team with him.
Yeah.
And I was getting hit by an ATS, and every time I got shot, surging on red defense dice is just so good.
Yeah.
So it was like I took like one damage after like two full barrages, and I had gotten melee with this guy, and so I just kicked him to death because he's got the boost spikes. Red, and then the last, like, it was one guy versus the game ended on a 50-50 roll.
Oh.
So I won because of it, but if he had survived, I wouldn't have been able to pick up the last supply token, and if he didn't, you know, like how it went. Right. So Boba just kicked Stormtrooper in the face and then grabbed the supplies.
Yeah, I will say yesterday playing Boba for the first time, those surges on red, it was unbelievable to me. Like, yeah. I was just like, oh boy.
It feels great.
Yeah, he is nasty.
I took, in the first game, I took like three damage right at the bat. I was three hits and I just rolled three blanks and I'm like, whoa. Because he's got five health, right?
Yeah.
But after that, after the second game where he just didn't get shot in the third game, I just felt like he was invincible, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like he, because he only got five health, so like he can just drop, like if things go bad. Like I had Vader off the bat take five health the second game. He just shot with a gun and
broke
blanks.
I will say though, like right now it seems like the Pierce is a big thing, you know?
Yeah, Pierce and Sharpshooter too.
Yeah.
If you use his carbine.
And so, you know, but with Boba having that special ability to roll against the Pierce.
Impervious.
Yeah, that is
Impervious
sick.
X, right?
It is so sick.
So if they have three Pierce on you, you roll three additional defense. So Luke or Vader comes up.
Yep.
Vader swings at him. You get three additional dice. So he still gets his Pierce. It's not negating Pierce, but it's giving you a chance to roll more shields to maybe not take as much damage.
Yep.
It's with snipers. Like, it's Pierce one, so he gets an extra die. Like, it's good. It's real good.
Yeah, and it makes Vader less scary for him, too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I think one of my matches, somebody was playing Boba, and I had Vader throw his saber.
Mm.
And, he just negated them all. And it was just
because
like,
he gets three additional dice.
Yeah.
Didn't he, the one gentleman you play at the end, he evaded nine with Boba?
Yeah.
Nine hits?
Yeah, he rolled, so not nine hits, but he had the six.
Yeah.
I hit all six on Vader.
Oh.
And he rolled the three extra for the Pierce three that Vader has, and he rolled all nine, like all of them paint. It was ridiculous.
I remember we were playing, I heard this guy go, yes, nine of eight.
Yeah,
yes.
And listen, at that point, I had already had the game in the bag, and we were just playing it out.
Yeah.
But I was so happy for that guy, too, because it was just, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And I was just like, dude, congratulations. Like, that is an incredible role. Like,
but just kicks a lightsaber out of his hands.
Yeah.
Us, like, not today.
And he was just so happy. I just was like, yeah, man.
Yeah,
like, gave him a high five.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
that was awesome. Awesome.
That was really funny.
Yeah, like, and I think that's the new, like, the thing with these new units I love so much too is it creates these
little stories.
Yeah, amazing situations and stories, like you said, that are just incredible, and
they're
just
fun, man. Yeah, it's like a bolt action. I feel like has those great little stories where like one soldier behind enemy lines getting shot at, but he's just not going down. Right. Like now you can. A lot of stuff like Boba Fett took on an entire stormtrooper assault squad and just kicked them to death.
Yeah,
and
didn't
shoot them, just kicked them to death, and then took the box and left. Right?
Yeah, like, Vader fought Boba, and Boba stood his ground, and not a single thing touched him. And it was like, what? So, what was the toughest list you faced?
It was probably the last one. It was. I regret not knowing the gentleman's name. He was a super cool guy, and we kind of hit it off after the game because he played X-Wing, and he won like store champ at Millennium a few years ago. And Millennium's a big deal for X-Wing in the area because it draws most people. It draws like 60-some people to a store champ, so that was really cool. But he had like a full Weiss AT-ST, a pair of bikes, Veers, two full sets of scout troopers with snipers, and then I think like four DLT troopers, and man, he was just killing me with that. I remember you looked over, you know, like, how you doing? And it was like round two, and I had lost two full squads
of stormtroopers.
And I'm like, not good. Like, I couldn't get a hit in. He was just mauling me.
So going in, we were doing strength of schedule. And so they announced going into the last round that Evan was in first place at that point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being that I'm friends with Evan, I was really excited for him. And so I think what was round two for you or turn two for you? I turned around. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? He just gave me this death look, like, and he's just like,
not good, man.
So in my head, I went back to my game and I'm like, oh, man, that stinks. Like, I really wanted Evan to do well.
Yeah.
And then I think I was still playing and you guys were completely done, like packed up. When I looked back, I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
the game lasted like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like really like the quickest game.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, Evan. And I'm like, oh man, did you lose? He's like, no, I won.
Yeah. It goes to show playing the objective. Like,
yeah,
he was doing a great job just wiping me out. And again, it went down to like, we each grabbed the two. Right. And there's the one in the middle and I committed my whole army to it. But that ATST was just removing armies. Like,
yeah.
ATST can be a variance monster, right? Sometimes you throw nothing.
Right.
And you're like, well, great. And other times you just throw a lot. So I had to pull back. You know, I was like, everybody, I'm like, oh, back, we gotta fall back. And so I'm like, well, I gotta take something from him because I wasn't letting him have that middle one either. Because every time he got in there, I was shooting at it, or Veers was shooting at it. And so I snuck, again, it was Boba Fett, snuck around and took one of his at the last minute. And so he ended up getting that middle one, but it was 3-2 because I stole his.
Right.
And and he's just like, you won. And I'm like, what? You know, because I didn't really see a path to victory besides that. And it just came to the red die, just didn't roll for him. And it was nuts. It was like a really, but it was a good game because it could have really went either way. And if we had tied, he would have won because it goes to like points killed, right? And it was like my whole army. It was like things left on the board were like Veers with a box, a couple stormtroopers, and then Boba Fett, right? I barely killed anything of his. I just ended up just getting real lucky near the end.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is a good tip for, like, newer guys playing, or if you've played any competitive games, and this is something I learned a long time ago playing Magic competitively, is that it's never over until it's over.
As long as you have one life left, right? Yeah. In Magic, you're still alive.
You're still alive. You can still do stuff, like, never give up and never, like, you know, I think it would have been pretty easy for you when I saw what was happening to you in that second turn or whatever that you could have mentally checked out, but like just being competitive in gaming, like if you just go till the end until it's definitive that it's over, because anything can happen, especially in dice rolls.
Yeah, you know, it hurt. Like after I'm like, oh dude, this is it, right? After I lost that, but I'm like, well, it's objectives, so like if I can get those, I might still have a chance. And Boba Fett did it. Like,
I think it says a lot, like, to you too, because I know, you know, a lot of people would have gone into that with the knowledge that they were in first place, like feeling a little cocky and maybe not playing it out as hard. And so, you know, that's something to be said, I think, for anybody, like when you're going in, like, especially in this game, don't take anything
for granted. That. Yeah, I you know, in X-Wing, I've made my career on losing. So I try not to get my, like, I've learned just to keep my hopes about like winning real subdued. And normally, like, I'm going to the Prototype Toronto League for their X-Wing tournament, and they have last place trophies, and I'm actually Ontario's finest for coming in last year. And you know, so I walk into mostly tournaments like, anything for last? You know, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, Biggs card, okay. So I just, like, it always surprises me when I win. I'm like, oh, what, really? You know, I'm just like, I'm just so prepared to, like, take that.
I think that's a great attitude, because like I went in feeling super confident, because I've been playing the list that I brought in for a few weeks, and I've just been doing really well with it. And then I walked into Chris in that first round, and he taught me a very valuable lesson and just smacked me down and was like, mm-mm.
How was this Han Solo?
Ineffective.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, I can't tell you if it's Han in general, the way he played him, or our board state. But
yeah, because you said you started like pretty much opposite end, so Han felt tough there.
He didn't really get into it much. I think he shot maybe once or twice, but it wasn't like the cards were more effective than he was, which I think is Han's deal.
Yeah.
So he was just okay.
Okay.
But that's all I've seen. I haven't, all the Hans I've faced so far, maybe four times. And
I think when Chewie comes, it's going to be like Han Chewie time.
Yeah,
Chewie's got cards that work with Han, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's super
Han's
cool.
Not a game changer on his own.
Yeah, I agree, because I've seen him, and those cards are real good. Like, sorry about the mess, where you got to switch your cards out.
Yep.
When you need a real clutch card, like, I think those are. I got to see more. I only really play Imperial. This is like the one game that I've played that I don't buy in like two sides. I just like, well, I'm just gonna buy Imperial, and it keeps it cheap for me. And it's a hobby that what I love about Legion. It's a sustainable second game.
Yep.
As well, like you can be your primary. You can buy all of everything if you want, and you can have a great time. But like a new troop of, you know, two troopers comes out. You buy two boxes, $50 every 2 months.
Right.
Right. And you're like, all right, and you build them and you do whatever you want with them. And that's pretty like reasonable, right? Yeah. Like I love Shadespire, but the new set Night Vault came out. I'm sorry, I love Warhammer Underworlds is the key. And then Shadespire was the last season.
Yeah.
Night Vault's the current season. But they put out the new set, so I got that. And now this next weekend, the next two sets are coming out and more cards and all this stuff. And I'm like, I love the game, but I'm already like, whoa, 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 right? Like I'm like I part of me really wants all the new stuff. I'm like, yeah, more content. I'm like, but the other side, I just like, I can't keep up buying it. But so I don't like the Legion release schedule can be frustrating sometimes. You're like, I just need some more stuff.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
When the snipers came out for the Rebels first and the Empire didn't have them yet, I'm like, I don't know if I want to play for a while until I have like an answer,
yeah,
right?
It was
like,
tough, yeah.
But now that like everything, like it's, I just got to realize that, you know, it's okay, man. Like you don't have to have everything right now. So
yeah. And I think it's frustrating from that standpoint, but it's nice from a monetary standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. My wallet enjoys it.
Yeah. Well, and I like, I've been, this is going to sound traitorous, but like I've even been looking at some Rebel list going, that looks kind of nice. Like,
yeah,
that looks okay.
Yeah. Cause I see a lot of Rebel lists and I'm like, oh, I would have played it like this in my head. And I'm like, well, if I buy enough. So I've been slowly buying, like, when I walk into a store and there's nothing I want, I've got some extra money, I'll just buy a thing of Rebel Troopers. And I'm like, well, it's $25. It's not throwaway money, but at least it's like I can make a purchase and I'm not out like $60 like a video game or something, right? Like I feel like the consumer in me is very happy that I purchased something.
Yeah, and it's just going to get better when the other two
come man.
Out. Yeah. Okay, so next we're going to talk about second place. That says first place, but that's wrong. It's second place. Luke Cook. So, you know, I sent Luke some notes after our game and asked him some questions. So basically, he ran Veers with a Steam Leader. He ran four Stormtroopers with DLT-19s, a set of Snowtroopers with the Flame Trooper, an extra Snowtrooper, emergency stims, and impact grenades. That's a really sick unit.
Yeah.
Boba Fett with Hunter and emergency stims. Scout troopers with the sniper and HQ uplink, and scout troopers with the sniper and HQ uplink. He took all the named command cards for both Boba and Veers, except for Veers, he said he replaced his 2-pip with push.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good move because he doesn't have any vehicles.
Yeah.
Right. He said that for him, Boba was really the MVP. He said he changed the game because he's really versatile. And that he felt like he could do anything. He said that the bounty did come into play for him as well. Because even if you don't pull it off, your opponent still has to be afraid that it could get pulled up. We were talking about this before, like that they're going to play conservative.
If you like Leia or one of those squishy commanders, like you don't want her to get too close to the action if Boba's around, because like he can dole out a lot of damage. Like if you take one of those power turns with them where you like rocket launch your carbine, and if you're in that sweet range 3 mode, like they eat both, or even rocket wrist rocket and carbine's 4 black dice because he's got arsenal 2, so you just like 4 damage, and then
and his cards
like, and you can't, or whip it so the cord, so he immobilizes you, shoots you, and runs away. Like it's really like, again, I don't think he's, as much as I'm praising him, there's one game where like Vader was the only guy, and I'm like, I'm not killing Vader.
Yeah,
I'm not killing Vader. Like I had my Vader to go fight Vader, and I'm like, so he just kind of like hung around and shot troopers, and it was kind of like, he's a really good anti-hero killer, but as like an infantry guy, you get that one flame projector, like his flamethrower, and after that, I just like I want to keep him away from troops. Like I don't know, I don't want to get tied up, so it's a weird, like, he's interesting. He's seems really good, but I'm waiting for Chewie to come out to really give you that counterbalance of like. Because because the other shoe hasn't fallen yet. It was like me complaining about snipers for Rebels.
Right.
Like, I don't have that option.
Yep.
And Rebels have 3 commanders right now, and Empire only has 2, but we got this great operative.
Yep.
But when Chewie comes out, like, I want to play a Chewie Han team. Like, I want to just go in, like,
really
crazy scoundrel, like, shenanigans. So,
And he's excited for the Emperor, too, to see how he looks ridiculous. Was I didn't
like
even
3
know.
3 red and 3 black or something?
Yeah, but he's like 200 and some odd points.
Yeah, 210 points. You know, we're joking, like, Vader him team and just like the paratroops to fit it in. Yeah, but
like two of the guards there.
He rolls like red evade dice. Yeah, I know, like he's ridiculous. Insane.
Yeah.
Like, but
let's see. So then Luke also said the scouts did a lot of work for him. He said, you know, with the two black that he was putting out some crazy damage at range two. And then he was just pretty much feeding them the aims from Veers so they could still move and shoot, you know. And then he said key for him was also putting the HQ uplink on them. So then he could just give them an order whenever he needed to. He said he faced two Empire squads and a Rebel squad. He said the scouts were able to kill Vader when they got within the range too with the 10 black dice, which so I didn't even think about that.
Just overwhelming.
Yeah, and then Boba was able to get a bounty on one of the matches, which is cool. Like you said, you got one match with the bounty as well. He said the toughest list he faced was his father's, which is Chris Cook. Again, he's the first guy I placed or played, and he just ran me over. And like Luke said the same thing. There's just so many troops to worry about that can do so much damage on that list. And again, Chris ran, he came in third, he ran Han, Leia, two Z6, two fleets, two full sniper squads, and then just a regular sniper. That's right. And he had a naked trooper squad, just a random trooper squad for grabbing objectives and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It was just naked.
Yeah. Trooper. Why not? I mean, all that matters is that leader, right? The other guys are just there for hit points.
Yeah.
If you just want to grab, like grab her like that.
Yeah. And so they were playing. So, you got paired down.
Yes.
So going into the last round, we had three 2-0s.
Yep.
Chris and Luke played each other, and then you played. I forgot his name too. Maybe apologies. Jim. I want to say it's Jim.
Sorry. If you're listening, sorry, man.
But and so Luke said he was able to use Boba to missile kill his lone sniper team. That held the supply crate to end the game. So it kind of came down to the end. Because I remember going over there, they were still playing after I had finished. And yeah, it was just like really intense father versus son.
Yeah, you know?
But it looked like fun. And then he said his name's Jim. Okay, great. We got it. Jim.
All right, cool. You
played Evan. That was the last game. So, Luke said the same thing. He played that Jim guy with the ATST. He was worried about, you know, when he went into the tournament that he didn't have enough impact when he faced something like that. And so he said he just ignored the ATST and focused on everything else. And he said the game, like you said, the game was a bloodbath. Like,
he
kept running over everything.
No, yeah, Jim was, he was a real tough dude.
So he said, he said at the end, they both only had three units left and the ATST was wiping out squads, and he said he was lucky he was able to kill off enough of his troops that he can overthrow the objectives.
Yeah.
So, Luke, thank you so much for writing in and telling us all that information, and congratulations on second place and Chris on third. And once again, those guys were amazing.
Great time.
Yeah, all the guys in Buffalo were amazing. For people who don't know where we, our area at all, it's about a 2-hour drive for us to get out there. Well worth the 2-hour drive.
Yeah, man, it was a blast. Like, you think about other ways you have spent the day, and like getting to push around miniatures and hang out with some cool guys was like, bad.
Yeah. And like I said, the place was super cool. Like, that's one of the few places where if I got a buy besides like a convention, I'd be okay with it because of all this
stuff, like random stuff to look around at. Like, it was insane.
Yeah. Like, but they had games on, they had like football games on. They had, I guess it would have been college because it was Saturday. They had college games on.
Yeah. You could just walk over and watch TV. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah. It was really, really neat. Thanks for everybody out there. That was a great time. Great hosts. It was amazing. All right. So the next thing we're going to talk about is terrain. So what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of start with the terrain we saw at this tournament. And then I think I'd just like to talk about terrain in general and the shift we're seeing as people start getting into this game and the crafts people that are building this insane terrain. So for those of you who are just listening and aren't watching us on YouTube, I have a bunch of pictures up. They're available on our podcast channel in a PDF. You can just download. I have like a companion thing that I have running in the background. So you can download that and check it out. The astonishing thing to me, and I brought two of them, but was the number of AT-ATs. And yes, you heard me. AT-ATs between the Disney popcorn buckets. Those are the ones I have, to the like Power of the Force, old Kenner, AT-AT toy. Yeah, yeah. There was every table, I think, had an AT, maybe except for one, had an AT-AT on it, which was amazing. My favorite board at the tournament, there was a kind of like an Endor style table that had these giant trees, and you guys
that was super cool. Yeah, the one in the upper right. Yeah,
my only concern was the train looked ridiculous. I didn't end up getting placed on that board for during the tournament, but like I asked Nick how it went because he played it with the speeders, and he said it was fine. But like, there was this weird, crazy piece of terrain that had like a tunnel underneath it, and it like it was like a cool mountain, and then like a path up to the top. Like, it was nuts. So, what did which one was your favorite that you saw?
Oh, the Hoth board.
Yeah,
yeah, that was really cool. So it was actually like, you know, textured terrain. The guys did like great job on all the terrain. You know, we're kicking ourselves because they ran out of. We didn't know how many people were getting.
Right.
And so we were surprised to get that many. So we ran out of mats. So we're using just like blank cloth, like black cloth for some of it.
Yeah.
Or X-Wing mats, because it was just there to like, just 3x3 is really what you're looking for, the play space. But to be fair, like, no, besides that, like, we weren't prepared, right?
Yeah.
Like, because when we run a Legion up here, it's like four people, maybe six.
Six, yeah.
Yeah, most. Like, it's we're not used to like that many. So, but no, it was having all that. That terrain there was great. The Hoth was my favorite. I really liked, I don't know, man. It was just really good. The Endor one was great. Like, they did a really good job. Like, all stuff looks good.
Yeah, and so basically what had happened for everybody, they asked, so the store didn't really have terrain. The store, and that's okay. Like, the store wasn't ready for terrain games. So, you know, one of the organizers, Chris, just basically has said, hey, if you guys got terrain, bring it because we're going to need it. And so, you know, a bunch of us just brought buckets of terrain. This guy, Paul, he brought most of the Endor and the desert stuff. Chris and Luke, I believe, brought the Hoth stuff. And then that other table I don't have a picture of, but that was pretty neat. Some of my favorite pieces were on the Hoth one. Anybody who sees the picture, there's like these two like semicircles next to the AT-AT. That was basically like an old droid tank from like the Clone Wars that he made it look like it had been there for like 50 years. That was really, really neat. It was just really cool. And I guess this opens up because right after we came home from this, LJ from the Las Vegas Open there, he posted some terrain pictures that they're probably going to have at the Vegas Open.
Yeah.
And the one he posted was like, it almost looked like a cityscape, like from Jeddah or Tatooine.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And it was like, it's going to be like an urban table.
It's funny you mentioned that because I love Infinity, how you're actually fighting in like a built city. You're not like fighting. So Warhammer terrain is meant to look like garbage.
Yeah.
Like, not like the terrain itself looks great, like the buildings and destroyed ruins and like everything, but it's made to look like that because everything 40K that's nice is probably blown up, right?
Yeah, you didn't mean garbage like people.
Yeah, no, not garbage like people. It's meant to look like it's
so
been
all
destroyed.
You 40K guys, this is Evan Bullrist.
Yeah, this is
you
his
can
address.
Find him at-
everything's meant to look like broken, destroyed. But in the Star Wars universe, like that's not the case. You know, like there's nice parts of the Star Wars universe. Like I'd love a downtown Coruscant.
Yeah.
Fight, right. Like you're fighting through city streets, and like maybe that's where like fleet troopers really shine because like you can just run up on somebody and be like, oh, bah, you know, here's 10 white dice. Like, because the range won't matter as much. And like snipers and towers and stuff would be really cool. So I think that's really interesting about Legion is like even like small terrain, like getting an ATST stuck through a city block, you know, it can't like, it has to actually back up.
Yeah.
Right. Like that'd be really cool. Like, so to actually build like a straight city and have like, you know, neon signs and like all this little stuff, like, or downtown Tatooine, people do that a lot, and that's really cool. Like, you're just in the cantina area, and like, I'm looking for more of that. I think that's the next thing that would really blow me away.
Yeah,
is open space and stuff like that is great because this is the best terrain I've ever played on for like for like a game like that.
So let me ask you this really quick. So you were at Nova Open. The terrain is the same because we did a quarter of the table.
Yeah,
but from the images I saw, it looks like they didn't have a lot of height on them.
No. So the problem with the Nova terrain was just straight from FFG. So it's not anybody at Nova's fault.
Nope.
Let's get that out of the way. And they just give you a bucket. And what's nice about the sheet is there's no arguing over. In each bucket there's a sheet and it tells you what terrain is. Like this is heavy terrain. This is obscuring terrain. So there's no like, oh, we played it like this or we played it like that. So you just look at the sheet. The problem was it did fill the space, but do you see like I know anybody listening to this, I'll have to describe it. I was going to point at a picture on the wall here.
He's see making
this,
all kinds of hand
you see
gestures.
This over here? Podcast, there would be like a little bit of a hill, but it'd be a big hill. And infantry could like see over it and shoot over it. So it wasn't really doing much for you.
This was at Nova.
Yeah, but it would fill up the required space, like a big piece of space. So some of the open snow terrain was just murder for rebels. Like, no terrain is really bad for rebels. Right. Like, you need it. So there's just some, I think after a year, this is like Fantasy Flight's first major miniature game with like real terrain. Not so Rune Wars exists, but they use like cardboard, like to represent trees and things like that. Like, not like this, though.
Right.
So I feel like the more they do, the more they'll learn. But to be fair, like every map on Nova had a broken ATSD, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, it just broken down one. But, like, it was really some of the matches, some of the levels felt real open, and other ones were like you're fighting in like a plateau area. So there's giant plateaus that you can't, they're higher than one. So you can't get around them. So you got to fight around them. That was really cool. I just felt like not all the buckets were made equal. Like, some terrain was really cool and some was a little rough. I mean, I play Imperial, so like, train or not, I don't mind.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, for those of you that'll be able to see the pictures, you'll see. But like, I felt every table at this tournament was even, and they were diverse, and everything was different. And like, some of the tables were meant to be together, like people brought from home, and were you know, they clearly spent tons and tons of time on this. Yeah. And then like, if you're looking at the picture, like on the bottom right, this was some of my terrain and some of other people's terrain, and so. It was just a bunch of stuff, but it looked really awesome. Like, it ended up coming out awesome. And then just to back up a little bit, so Evan mentioned Infinity, which for anybody who doesn't know, it's a tabletop war game similar. You don't usually, it's not exactly like Star Wars Legion, but it's similar enough. It's like a mix between Legion
small
and
excursion,
40K.
Like smaller than Legion, but still there.
With like mechs and robots and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's like a futuristic one. I will say, the reason I'm bringing it up is I played that game. And so a lot of the MDF laser cut terrain that I use now for Legion was actually from Infinity. And it fits perfect because it's futuristic. They have some beatdown stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like you can find it. Warsenal is a great website for this stuff. You know, some of it's a little pricey because it's a lot of laser cut wood. But, you know, some of the cheaper stuff is really, really nice. And I recommend that if you're having trouble either building or finding terrain. They're really great. But I'm excited to see what terrain is coming next, what people are going to think of, you know, where I came away from this tournament. And actually, if anybody's a subscriber on the YouTube channel, like I posted a terrain tutorial. Like,
yeah, that was really cool.
After this for like a beatdown ATST, because it just was so inspiring to see some of the stuff that these guys had done, like Paul and Chris and Luke. And I was just like, man, these guys, it just made me feel good about the game state in general. And I know this can sound weird, but it's just because the level of care and love, I think that we all have for Star Wars, but in particular that some of these guys have for this game, just makes me feel really good moving forward.
It feels good to find other passionate people about it.
Yeah.
Cause you spend so long, like trying to get people into it, like trying to, you do demo games, and I get like not wanting to buy another, there are other people out there who will just play one miniature game and God bless them. Like, I play so much that, like, you know, people get sick of hearing me pitch a new game. But I love it. I love all of them. But so, like, it's in our area, like, it's Warhammer is really saturated. And that's fine because you go to the store, and if you want to play Warhammer, there'll be a guy there. 13th Legion, they do a whole thing. They've got like 2,000 people. They're the big thing in the Northeast here. Really good group of guys. They love Warhammer. But, like, Legion, like, you know, some of the kickback you get, it's like, well, there's not enough units, there's not enough sides. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, it'll come, right? Like, they just announced Clone Wars. And I got some of the guys that are like, oh, well, when Droidica's come out, I want to play. And I'm like, cool. Right. You know, like, to me, I'm just thinking, well, I've got a big head start. You know, like all the games I've been playing, like, I'll get you, you know? Yeah. But but I mean, next army I'll buy, if they launch a Droidica army, I'll play a Droidica army. That just sounds wicked cool.
Yeah.
But I think going up to, back to terrain, besides, my point was, it's cool to find passionate people.
Yes.
That you're not, you don't feel like you're the only guys, because people who are passionate about a game will usually group together and you might see the same people over and over again. But it's cool to like go somewhere else and feel like you're not alone. Yeah. Right? Like you're like, oh, hey, there's, thank God. You know, like there's games alive somewhere else. But I think Fantasy Flight can make some money if they go the Games Workshop route and release terrain.
Sure.
They're like, here's a wave of just like buildings. You buy them and you put them together.
Right. Or give us the ATST, but it's like in the ground.
Yeah. I like, because
like
you can go into
stuff at Nova, right?
Yeah. Like, look at Kill Team right now for 40K. They just keep releasing terrain.
Right.
And they release, you get a few troops, you get like a kill team, you get the terrain, and then you get some new rule cards and all that. But like, the terrain's worth it for a lot of that. Yeah. You're like, I look at all this cool stuff and I'm like, I bought the Kill Team box because it came with a broken down cathedral city. You could use that for this. It's about the right size. But I mean, like, if Fantasy Flight wants to invest more and they're listening to the podcast, they've actually sent us emails. Saying
they've specifically told us they're not.
But releasing like, you know, those are homemade hyper laser or turbo laser towers. Like,
yeah,
releasing like a two set for like $30. You build them and you
be awesome.
Because they make the barricades, so it's like. They're not unwilling, right? Because they gave you something out of the box, which is cool. But I'd love to walk in and be like, oh, hey, here's for, if they even said like $100 for enough legal terrain to plan a table. So you buy this box, you build it, and it fits that 25% and it looks cool. And they can even match the mats.
Yeah.
Because the actual two Legion mats, again, still on terrain here, I don't super love. I bought them. I had to.
Yep,
yeah, I bought
me
them.
Too. Yep.
I think they're a little busy.
Because some of the stuff you would put like if it's fine, but like you're saying, if they built the terrain that matched the picture on there, that would be awesome.
I'd be in, right? Because there's like broken ATSTs, so your guys are running over this, like, but you've got to relay, right? Like, right. It doesn't like that kind of bothers me a little bit, but Fantasy Flight puts out just a green mat for Rune Wars, just a grass mat. It's the best grass mat I've seen. It's a 3x3. I use it for a miniature game called Test of Honor. Which is perfect for like a Japanese town kind of feel. But if they did an Endor, they sold trees.
Yeah.
Like, your trees look great. Those nunchucks you bought and like cut up. They look really good. But I just feel like if they... Because I bought the expanded objective box, right?
Yeah.
Like the little boxes. That adds a lot to have like moisture evaporators.
Absolutely.
And like communication centers. I'm just thinking if they released that, like I'd pay... If they had like $100 for the Hoth-themed collection where you get like... The shield generator, and you get the turrets, and you get broken machinery, and like, are you kidding me? If they release snow mats and then that,
right?
I'd
just
be in
take
so
all
hard.
My money.
Like, $150 for all the mats and the table.
Yep,
to get a complete table, like you can't, you know, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna move on to a segment now. Generally, I have music and a whole thing, but in respect to Nick not being here, we're just gonna move right into it.
That's fair.
Kind of sad. The next segment is called We're Doing It Wrong?
Sad trombone.
Nick loves that music and the sound that I make.
Yeah.
And I'm shaking my head no, he hates it. So I only do it when he's here because it's funny. So this isn't really We're Doing It Wrong, but just stuff that we've been seeing that we want to point out just so everybody knows. One of the things, and this one's from Nick, that came up. So the question was, when does suppression stop you from making your second action? So when does suppression slow you down? And the answer is...
It stops you when it meets your unit's courage value, the yellow number. So the problem is the easy way, the reason why a lot of people get it mixed up is most units' courage value is one.
Yep.
Like all the troopers. So as soon as you get one suppression, you're already, that's it. But for like Boba Fett or Veers or Han or anybody, it's two or higher.
Yeah.
So they don't actually lose your action until you've got enough suppression to equal that number.
Yep. And then you don't panic until you have
double that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you only panic if you're not using your commander's courage.
That's a good point. So correct.
Yeah.
So the problem is when you play Vader, like a lot of these rules don't apply to you. So it's easy to, when you don't play Vader, to not remember how to use them,
right?
Because Vader doesn't even get suppression tokens, he just doesn't care. But let's say you're not playing Vader for whatever reason, I guess. So with Veers, I think his courage is 4,
something like that.
It's 2, and then you double it to be 4 for panic.
Yep.
So they can use his, they still get suppressed at 1, but they don't panic until 4,
right?
That's also weird, like it's easy to forget. Because, like, you gotta, like, when I watch Suppression, I sometimes I'll be thinking, I'm like, hey, could you check your command range there? And you go, oh crap, you know, I got, yep. I've got two on me, I gotta panic now. I'm like, yeah, excellent, right? Yeah. But then I also think of that too. I'm like, I gotta run my guy back into Vader's command range because, oh gosh, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, this isn't, once again, this wasn't a, we're doing it wrong, but it's just, some of this stuff is stuff we run into because the game's been out for a little while now, and as we play, situations that we read about in the book when we first started playing are popping up now, and, you know, we may not remember those rules, and so these are just, I'm just doing some reminders. The next one is, can you... grab two objectives and recover the supplies with one unit? And the answer is yes. There is no rule that says one unit cannot grab two supplies. The rule just specifies that the supplies can't overlap with anything else, and it has to be in base contact with your unit leader, and it just can't be impeding any other mini.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, Jim, if you're listening... I'm real sorry, because the way we always played it in my, like when we played locally was we always thought it was one per dude.
Right.
And when I went to Nova, the other guy I played also believed that where it was one per dude. And you went to move up with one guy already having one. And I'm like, oh, sorry, you can't. I think we took the move back or something. Like we, you know, unplayed it. But I'm like, no, it's only one per guy. And then I actually just was reading Facebook on like the Legion main group, and then it was like how, you know, somebody posted that, and they said, "Oh, as many as you want." I'm like, "Oh no!" I read it like Monday, so I felt I felt real bad because I may have denied him the game there. Not I was following that rule too. To be fair, I wasn't like holding more. Than
right, you
not,
could have gotten more with Boba if you wanted.
Yeah, so it was. But I felt real bad about it after the fact because I didn't know at the time.
Yeah, guys. I mean, this is just stuff we're gonna, and I know. You know, a lot of the super competitive guys that are trying to get their Indepticon invites, you know, are going to yell at us and say, well, yeah, that's the rules. And we know. But, you know, a lot of us are still learning the game at the same time as everyone else. And so, you know, these are just the pitfalls we're going to run into. You know, another one that came up as well for me, and I just, it's just one of those things. I wasn't playing it wrong. I just didn't really think about it. Is that for your mini not to be shot, they have to be completely covered by terrain, completely blocked from line of sight.
Yeah.
And so, like, even if their little gun is popping out, they're within line of sight. So you can shoot at them. They'll still get their, you know, they'll still get their cover, but they could still be shot at.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Always, when you're placing minis, when you're thinking about
turn
a move,
sideways, whatever you got to do to make sure they don't get seen.
Get down there at eye level and just make sure you're in good shape because I've definitely
because I'll be looking eye level to shoot at it, right? Like so I did the same thing when we used to play. Like we thought it had to be, it's like if 50% of the model's covered, it's considered heavy.
Yeah.
But I thought like if it was just like a head, like I was playing with Nick back at the store tournament we played, I don't know, months ago at this point. And he's like, can Leia shoot Veers? And it's just both their heads looking. I'm like, I don't think so. Like, and he's like, all right, he still just demolished me anyway. But it was like, so that's a good point. So as long as there's any part of the plastic looking at any part of the plastic, it's
considered line of sight.
Because this game is a true line of sight. Like, no, correct. Like, he sees it or it doesn't.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And so just the last thing for today is just a reminder for everyone. This is the last week for the giveaway. So I'm sure you've heard about this. It's the Great Fifth Trooper Giveaway. We're giving away a unopened, completely sealed, right here in front of me box. And for those of you listening, you don't get this, but I'm pointing at the box. So go check out the YouTube channel. That's my new sound effects generator. So we're giving away a brand new box of Rebel Commandos. I'll ship it anywhere. I don't care. But we are asking something from you. You know, we're trying to grow the podcast, as I'm sure you'd gathered. We want more listeners. We want everybody listening and liking us, and you know, because we love it when people like us. So to you can get multiple entries for the giveaway. You know, you can. There's a little form. On our podcast webpage under the giveaway tab. And there's like a little, you know, I'm sure you've seen them across the internet now, like our Facebook page, subscribe to the YouTube channel, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, and all these things will get you entries into the into the giveaway, and then I believe it's Saturday. It's a software program that I'm running that's going to pick the winner. So please don't suck up to me. No, go ahead. Suck up to me. Yeah. You'll get priority.
Wish I had a box of Legion.
You'll get another entry for any kind of good comments. No. But listen, we're just happy that you guys are listening. I wanted to give something away to our listeners for just being there for us. And, you know, we both win, right? We get our likes, we get our subscribers, more people get to hear us. That means that you get to hear us more because, you know, the more people are subscribing and liking us and rating us on iTunes, just the better it is for us. And the more we'll be able to produce the content that we're producing. And then, you know, you'll get a giveaway at the end. One of you will. And, you know, this is something I plan on doing again, and it's been going well so far. And, you know, so, you know, thanks for those who have signed up. And if you haven't yet, you got until Saturday to do it. So, So do it. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Once again, I want to thank Evan for joining us. He was going to be here anyways. And then,
fair.
Yeah, Nick had some issues, so he couldn't make it. But Nick's quitting Legion. No, I'm just kidding. he said he's just playing X-Wing.
Comes out.
Yeah, Keith Law. Right. Yeah. No, but thanks, Evan, for joining us. And thanks, everybody out there, for listening. And have a great week. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good one, everyone. Stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.